Our Heavenly Father, we come now to that portion of our week, probably that most of us, even if we do not realize it, need the most. We've been rubbing shoulders with a world that's alien to Thee. We have of necessity had to listen to words we did not want to hear. We've had to listen to musical refrains we did not want to listen to. We even had to hear Thy name profaned. We did not like to hear that. And so we come for these moments where Thy name shall be exalted and where we can gain strength to face the battle for next week. I pray You'd bless this Thy simple servant today and these Thy people. I pray that I will be what they need me to be and that I will say what they need me to say. I cannot do that unless You direct. I yield myself to that direction now. In Jesus' name, amen. May I give you just a little bit of introduction and then an illustration and then application. The Apostle Paul uses a term that Dr. John Rice used to use a lot. I recall when I first began to preach with Dr. Rice, he began to have me speak for him a lot, and I asked him one day, "Dr. Rice, there are many better preachers than I." I said, "Why do you choose me?" I was a young man back in those days. I said, "Why do you choose me?" And Dr. Rice said, "Because, Brother Hiles, God has given me the care of all the churches." Yeah, that's a quote from 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 28. He said, "God has given me the care of all the churches." And he said, "Brother Hiles, I believe that God has given you a like concern for churches more than your own, the care of all the churches." Now, how did the Apostle Paul rise to this lofty position? How did he become the great leader of all the New Testament and the great author or the writer of many of the New Testament books? How did Paul rise to that lofty position? Well, here's what he said. He said, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice or three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness." That's how Paul rose to his lofty position. Sound like to me it's going down the ladder. No, those things help Paul rise up the ladder. And I want to speak to you for a while on that passage. I want to talk to you. I try, and I follow it carefully as I illustrate. I try not to waste time. I only have one life to live. That life is getting toward the last years. And I've never been a waster of time. Never have been a waster of time. I have a little time in my life that I utilize for a unique purpose. Every Monday and Tuesday, except pastor school and vacation Bible school, I leave with either O'Hare Field or Midway Airport. And I fly somewhere across America and preach on Monday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night. I'm met at the airport, taken to a hotel or a motel. And then I'm picked up usually about 6:45 if I preach at 7, maybe 6:30. And I get to the church. Now, I go to the pastor's study almost every week, same story. I go to the pastor's study before the service. The pastor has a few things he has to care for, so he leaves me in the study, usually for about 5 to 10 minutes. Now, that's not dead time for me. While I'm in the study, I look through his library, always do. Now, I know I can't read a book in 5 to 10 minutes, but I can look through and see what he has. Sometimes I'll just look at the titles of all the books in his library, and occasionally I'll get me an idea for a sermon just by the titles. I got a sermon I preached on, I won't remember it now. If I perish, I perish. I preached it at the Nationwide Pastor School. And I got that idea from a title, a book I just saw the book title, If I Perish, I Perish. I jotted it down and put it in my little folder where I keep all my sermon ideas. And I kept it for months. And one day I said, I'm going to look up that scripture and get its application and so forth. And got me a sermon. Anyway, enough for that. I was in some time ago, I was in a pastor studying. Oh, never wasting any time. I got 10 minutes to wait. Maybe I can read one page of a book. Or maybe I'll go through the table of contents and see the titles and see if I can get some idea. Always looking for ideas. And I prepared 4 full sermons this week, for example. I'm going to preach 3 of them this morning. And I said before, you know, they say if you copy a sermon, you're stealing. If you copy 3 sermons, you're researching. So I'm going to research this morning instead of stealing. But I was in this pastor's study, and I was going through his library, and I just saw a little book. I don't know what it was about. Just picked it out, started, and read the first page of it. And the first page of it told a story about a little boy and his sister. I don't remember the contents at all. I didn't read the whole thing. I read one page. That's all. And the story was about a little boy and his sister were climbing up a mountain path. The boy was leading his sister up the mountain path. And she was stumbling over the rocks and so forth. And she said to him, she said, this isn't a path at all. It's all rocky and bumpy. And the boy turned around and said to his sister, sure, the bumps are what you climb on. And I said, what a sermon. What a sermon. The bumps are what you climb on. And it's all read. Pastor came back, and I didn't have time to steal the book, and pastor came back. But I never forgot that. The bumps are what you climb on. Here's a little girl now. She was going up, stumbling over the bumps. And the boy was climbing on the bumps. From that day to this, whenever I have a heartache, I stop, I look at it, and ask, what will I allow this bump to do to me? Will I fall over it, or will I climb on it? Now, you have the same decision to make every time something bad comes into your life. Are you going to stumble, as the little girl did, over the bumps? Or are you going to say with the little boy, the bumps are what you climb on? Don't forget that statement. All your life, remember it. The bumps are what you climb on. That's what gets you to the top. That's what Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, five times I was shipwrecked, and 3 times, I think he said, I was beaten 39 times, and I've been robbed, and I've been in perils often, and fastings often, and so forth. And Paul said, and now I have the care of all the churches. There are many fellows had no bumps to climb on, didn't have the care of any churches. But Paul said, I have the care of all the churches. How'd you get there, Paul? I got there on the bumps. The bumps are what you climb on. Now, I don't know what your bumps are today, but I know one thing. I know you have some. There's some things in your life that are uncomfortable. There's some things in your life that are distasteful. Now, you have some choices. You said this morning, I can't understand these things that have come in my life. But you've got some choices. You can look at those bumps, if you please, and you can stop and go no further. You can quit. I'll turn back. I'll just stop. I'm not going to go any further. I'm just sick and tired of all the problems. Or you can kick against them. You may break your toe, but you can kick against them if you want to. I think it was Mike Ditka, wasn't it, that got mad at a ball game and went and kicked the water cooler and broke his foot. But if it wasn't Mike Ditka, he will sooner or later, I'll guarantee you for sure. But you can kick ass, you can grab. And God doesn't treat me right, and all I've got in life is burdens and heartaches. You can take that choice. All right, I said you can stop and go no further. You can quit. Or when the bumps come, the hard places come, you can kick against them. Or you can complain about them. You can just simply say that nobody knows my problems, and nobody knows my trials and my troubles. You can complain. Or if you want to, you can turn around and go back. You can just tuck your tail between your legs and quit. Turn around and go back and say, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to go back where I came from. Or you can climb on them. Now take your choice. Take your choice. You can either stumble over the bumps, or you can climb on the bumps, because the bumps are what you climb on. And by the way, I want to say this. There's no other way to climb. You never will climb a mountain on slick surface. You never will. You'll never climb a mountain on smooth surface. If there are no bumps there, you're going to stay at the bottom of the mountain. I guarantee you for sure. You climb the mountain on the bumps. Now, it's up to you. You can decide what you want to do. If you want to do nothing in life, stay down at the bottom of the mountain and gripe and complain. There's a mountain, then go ahead. I like what Harry Truman said. He said, if you can't stand the heat, don't get in the kitchen. Somebody said that to me the other day. He said, Brother Howes, if you can't stand the heat, don't get in the kitchen. I said, I don't mind getting in the kitchen, but I hate to live in the kitchen. I like to go to the living room occasionally every once in a while. But the bumps are what you climb on. If you want to go to the top, you're going to have some bumps. If you want to go to the top, you're going to have some friction. If you want to go to the top, you're going to have some troubles. I was reading Charlie Brown. I don't read comics very much, but just occasionally I read Charlie Brown. And Charlie Brown was talking. Is it Lucy? Is that the gal? He was talking, and Lucy is trying to console Charlie Brown because he always lost. And Lucy said to Charlie, she said, Charlie, remember, you learn more from your defeats than you do from your victories. And Charlie Brown said, good night. I didn't know I was the smartest man in the whole world. I bet you think you're pretty smart too, don't you? But it's true. When you come to a bump in the road, you can climb on it, or you can stumble over it, or as the Bible says, you can make it a stepping stone or a stumbling block. But the bumps are what you climb on. So when you come to a bump, thank God it's there. You're going to go higher. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Here's your prayer. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground, but don't give me any bumps. You can't get higher without the bumps. I was thinking, as Dr. Robertson was preaching the other day, I have a few heroes that I've had in my life. Lee Robertson's one of them. John Rice is one of them. In history, Charles Spurgeon, one of my heroes. And Billy Sunday and others. But I was sitting here when Dr. Robertson was preaching the other day, and I, of course, was honoring him in my own mind and thanking God for the privilege of being in his presence. And by the way, he and I preached together last Tuesday. But he was standing here preaching at graduation, and I asked myself the question, how'd he get up there? How'd he get up there? He got up there on the bumps. When he was a young preacher, he was preaching revival. On his way home, called Mrs. Robertson, see how things were. She said, Lee, our little girl, Joy, just died. And Lee Robertson became greater. He grew because of the bumps. He climbed higher. Now, when he was a middle-aged man, well, younger middle-aged man, the Hamilton County Association in Chattanooga decided to censure him and then finally voted him out of the association, no longer a Southern Baptist. He hit the bumps. And then, even now, bless his heart, he's a heartbroken man right now because of trials. I won't go into that, but he's a heartbroken man. How did he get there? He got there the same way you're going to get there if you ever become a great person. He got there with the bumps. You said, Brother Howes, we've never had many trials in our life, then you won't go very high. Now, I guarantee you this. Before you surrender your life to be all that God wants you to be, you better be dead sure you're ready to take the bumps. You're going to take them. The bumps are what you climb on. The other day, I was reading the last chapters of Genesis, and I got to the part where Joseph was the second in command of all of Egypt. How did Joseph become? How did he climb to that position? He climbed because first he was hated by his brothers as a young man. After he was hated by his brothers, he was sold as a slave. Then he was falsely accused by a wicked woman that he had committed adultery with her. Then he was put in jail. Then he was forgotten, forsaken. Why, it looks like to me that'd take him down. No, it takes you up. It's up to you. It's up to you. You can step up on stones, or you can stumble over stones. They can wreck your life or ruin your life. You can stumble as the little girl did, or as the boy, you can choose to do as the boy did and say, the bumps are what you climb on. It's up to you. John R. Rice is one of my heroes. When John Rice was 6 years of age, his mother died. When John Rice was a young preacher, Baylor University, way back in those days, was teaching evolution. And the only thing that even gives me any belief that man came from a monkey is some of these monkeys that teach that man came from a monkey. They're proof of their teaching. But John Rice was evolution at Baylor University. John Rice went on the radio in Fort Worth, Texas, and preached against it, exposed the professor at Baylor University. A committee came to young John R. Rice and said, "You can't be a part of us if you're going to be a rabble-rouser." "Dr. Rice, I'm not a rabble-rouser. I'm a truth spreader and a truth preacher and a sin fighter." And he said, "The Bible doesn't teach that man came amuck you. The Bible teaches that teaches direct creation by God Almighty." And they excommunicated John Rice from their fellowship. And he kept on climbing. They tried to kill him. He kept on climbing. They tried to destroy him. He kept on climbing. The stones that they put in front to trip him, he just stepped up on them and made a stair step out of them, because the bumps are what you climb on. Dr. Rice was in Dallas pastoring the Galilean Baptist Church. A wicked woman tried to destroy him by gossip and scandal and tried to destroy the man. But you don't destroy John Rice. You don't do that. He climbs on the stones. And John Rice went through an awful time because of that wicked woman. But the bumps are what you climb on. Came the 1960s, and Dr. Rice was in the battle of his life. I haven't got time to go into it, but the battle of his life. And the subscription from the sword of the Lord went down and down and down. But the old man kept preaching the truth and kept on going. Listen, you can't stop a fella who won't be stopped. You can't stop a man who won't quit. You keep on climbing, and you get to a bump, step on it. The bumps are what you climb on. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got too much complaining about the negatives of life. You have no negatives, you'll have no climb. You have no negatives, you'll never reach the top. You have no bumps, you'll never know what it is to get the top of the ladder. If you want God to use you, you've got to have sorrows and tears and heartaches and burdens and sadness and battles. You can't climb unless you got some bumps. The bumps are what you climb on. That's what Paul is saying in that great chapter in 2 Corinthians. He's saying, "Five times I received 40 stripes, save one, but I climbed on it." He said, "Thrice was I beaten with rods. It was a bump. I climbed on it. Once I was stoned. I climbed on it. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. I climbed on it. A night and a day I've been in the deep. I climbed on it. In journeys often, I climbed on them. In perils of waters, I climbed on them. In perils by mine own countrymen, I climbed on them. In perils by the heathen, I climbed on them. In perils in the city, I climbed on them. In perils in the country and wilderness, I climbed on them. In perils in the sea, I climbed on them. In perils among false brethren, I climbed on them. In weariness and painfulness, I climbed on them. In watchings often, in hunger and thirst, I climbed on them. In fastings often, in cold and nakedness, I climbed on them." And then Paul said, "Because of that, God has given to me the care of all the churches." And if Paul had never been in jail, if Paul had never fasted, if Paul had never been shipwrecked, if Paul had never been beaten, if Paul had never had any stripes, if Paul had never had any hunger, if Paul had never had any scandal, if Paul had never had any heartache, if Paul had never had any heartbreak, he would never have had the care of all the churches. I want to warn you, preacher boys. I want to warn you. In case you want to go to the top in any area in the Lord's work, you're going to climb there on the bumps of life. Turn back now if you can't take it. Don't get halfway up the ladder and turn back. Stop now if you can't take it. I want to warn you pastor's wives. The lady who sang a while ago could testify. I want to warn you pastor's wives. If you can't take the bump, stop now. Quit now. In case you want God to use you, in case you want souls to come to God, in case you want to build great churches, in case you want God to use you as a mighty man on a mission field somewhere, in case you want God to use you as a great evangelist, in case you want God to use you as a great preacher, you get ready for it. The problems are going to come. The bumps are going to come. You stop and look at those bumps and say, "By cracking." Or praise the Lord. "I'm not going to stumble over you, and you'll not defeat me. I'll use you as a stepping stone. I'll climb to the top of the hill on you. You'll not destroy me. You'll not defeat me. You will be used as another step to the top." The bumps are what you climb on. I was talking to Mrs. Billy Sunday years ago. Oh, what a wonderful woman she was. An abrupt woman. Big woman. Tall. Abrupt, but tremendous. First time I ever met her. We had her in Texas to preach on Mother's Day. Her name was Ma Sunday. So we called it, instead of Mother's Day, we called it Ma Sunday. That was a pretty good idea, I thought. It's obvious that you don't give a flip about it, but I don't give a flip whether you give a flip or not. But anyway, we called it Ma Sunday. Had Ma Sunday on Ma Sunday. Thank you. Life magazine came, took pictures of Ma Sunday on Ma Sunday. And but the first time I had her, I was late at the airport. picking her up at Love Field in Dallas. I got behind a wreck on Northwest Highway. Had sat there for almost an hour. I walked up. She's standing there at the gate. She didn't say hello. She didn't say glad to be here. She said, "You Jack Hiles?" I said, "Yes." She looked down at me. Big lady. She said, "Next time I come, you be your own time or I won't come the next time." First words Ma Sunday ever said to me. Didn't say hello or hi. "I'm glad to be here." She said, "If you don't come on time next time, I won't come the next time." I was sitting in Ma Sunday talking one day, the two of us. And she told me about Billy. I asked her question after question. And she said, "Brother Hiles," she said, "some wicked people tried to destroy Billy with some scandals. Because of that," she said, "I sat on the platform with him every service. Everywhere. Every great campaign, Ma Sunday sat up here with the preachers." She sat up there on the platform. And she said, "One time Billy Sunday was praying." She told me this. He was praying. He said, "Dear Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for the great meeting we had last week." And he said, "Ma, where was we last week?" She said, "We were in Detroit, Paul." "Yeah, Lord, thank you for that great meeting we had down in Detroit last week. Oh, God, bless us next week up in that, Ma, where are we going to be next week?" And she said, "In Des Moines, Paul." "Yeah, Lord, bless us in that meeting up in Des Moines. But, oh, God, bless us tonight here." And said, "Ma, where are we tonight?" And we sat there for the hour, and we talked to each other. I guess 2 or 3 hours we talked to each other. She told me how that everywhere Billy went, he had to have police protection. And I said, "Didn't you have a son?" Tears came in her eyes. I asked her no more. I asked her no more. I found out years later why tears came in her eyes. Billy Sunday was preaching in a great citywide campaign, the big tabernacle. He stood to preach, and somebody was an enemy, took and put a newspaper right in front of him. And the headline of that newspaper said, "Billy Sunday's son in jail because of a drunken brawl." And Billy Sunday read that headline and hollered, "Preach Christ!" and slumped to his feet. I wish you could have sat there and heard Ma Sunday talk about Billy and his problems. And how Billy would face these problems and rise above these problems. Now, you've got problems too. You can quit, turn back, complain, gripe. Or with the grace of God, you can look at these problems and say, "I'm going to climb on the bumps." The bumps are what you climb on. You don't climb on sunshine, you climb in the clouds. You don't climb on beautiful days, you climb on stormy days. You don't climb on the smooth places of life, you get to a level place on the side of a mountain, you won't climb there. It'll be easy walking, but you won't climb. If you're going to climb, you're going to climb on the bumps. If God's going to use you, He'll use you by climbing on the bumps. John Bunyan, 12 years in the Bedford jail. 12 years in the Bedford jail. Had a little blind daughter. One of the most amazing books I've ever read is a book about that little blind daughter of John Bunyan. A little blind daughter came one day to prison where John Bunyan was languishing with the rats and the cockroaches in prison. Little daughter came and she looked through the bars and she said, "Daddy, I've got some good news for you." And John Bunyan said, "What is it, sweetheart?" And she said, "Daddy, you're going to get out of jail. You can come home and be with Mama and me." He said, "Wonderful, wonderful." She said, "Daddy, you've got to do one thing." He said, "What is it?" She said, "Daddy, if you'll promise you won't preach on the streets anymore, you can get out of jail and come and be home with Mama and me. That's all you got. You can preach in churches, but not on the streets." And John Bunyan looked at his little blind daughter and said, "Honey, if your daddy gets out of jail today, he'll preach on the streets tomorrow." What made John Bunyan? You wouldn't have had Pilgrim's Progress if there hadn't been a Bedford jail. You wouldn't have had Pilgrim's Progress if you hadn't have had the suffering and persecution. And you won't amount to one thing in life. Do you look at your problems and burdens and sorrows and heartache and say, "By the grace of God, you will not destroy me. You will not lick me. You will not defeat me. You are above and I'll climb on you. You think you're going to cause me to trip? I'll be on top of you. I'll climb to the top on you." Now you listen to me. You listen to me. God's never going to use you till you face the bumps and use them on which to climb. Adoniram Judson, that famous missionary to Burma. Adoniram Judson was married one day, ordained the next, and left for India the next, he and his bride, Anne. They went to Burma.
wasn't long till. And by the way, for 7 years, they had to learn the language and win the people. It was a mighty, mighty barren thing for 7 years. That missionary who was going to change India, there in Burma, a little child, their child got sick. After a while, that child died. And they laid that little body beneath Burmese soil. Wasn't long after that, their other child, only other child, became ill. And John and Ann, Ann and Adam Judson laid their second child in Burmese soil to become Burmese dust. And then, to cap it all off, Ann became seriously ill. And Ann died. And John took his lovely wife's body and laid that body beside their two children and walked away by himself and turned a whole country toward Jesus Christ. Why? Those three little graves were stepping stones. The bumps was what he climbed on. David Livingston, you wouldn't believe the heartache that man, that great David Livingston, who gave his life in Africa, not only as a man to become help politically and socially, but a great preacher of the gospel. David Livingston suffered every kind of suffering you ever want to know in your life. And by the way, just take any great man you want to, and I can tell you the bumps that he's had in his life. You take any great woman you want to, and I can tell you the bumps she's had in her life. Why don't you quit complaining? Why don't you quit griping? Why don't you quit blaming God for the condition? Why don't you quit getting mad at people? Why don't you say, by the grace of God, I want to do something for God? If you do something for God, you're going to have to climb on the bumps. There's no other way. You know that wonderful story. You've heard it again and again. I love it. One of the greatest stories to me I know in the entire history books. And David Livingston, that great missionary and pioneer in the country of Africa, when he died, his home country, England, decided they wanted to honor him in a special way. And they took David Livingston. They said, we're going to take David Livingston's body. And we're going to place David Livingston, a missionary, a preacher. We're going to place his body and bury him in Westminster Abbey beside the kings and queens and statesmen of England. The black men of Africa came to England where David Livingston's body was. And some black men said, David Livingston was ours. Let us have his body. Let us bury him with the people whom he loved and for whom he fought and with whom he labored. And the dignitaries of England said, oh no. He's from England. We're proud of him. He's a hero. We'll bury him in Westminster Abbey. And the black men said, then give us his heart. Give us his heart. His heart was with us. And they took that body and took out the heart of David Livingston's body and gave that heart to the black men of Africa. And today, the body of David Livingston is buried in Westminster Abbey beside the kings and queens and princes and princesses. But his heart is buried in the jungles of Africa. I'm trying to tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, the sorrows of life and the heartaches of life and the discomforts of life and the battles of life are stumbling blocks for you to stumble on and fail on and live a life of failure and nothingness. But by the grace of God, you can take those same things that will throw you and you can rise on those things. And the bumps are what you climb on. Charles Spurgeon's health was broken. He had to go down to Mentone. And in France, to a resort area, and spend days and weeks there. And oftentimes on Sunday, they would read Spurgeon's sermons that he had written down in Mentone, France. Read those sermons behind the pulpit, sermons he had written. Spurgeon's wife was an invalid. Spurgeon was in bad health. His wife was in a wheelchair most of her life, invalid most of her life. One day he came home from traveling on a trip, and Mrs. Spurgeon said to him, why do you have to travel so much? Spurgeon looked at Mrs. Spurgeon and said to her, do you think when the Jews brought their sacrifice and laid their sacrifice on the altar, they complained about it? And she said, no. He said, then why should we complain when we have to sacrifice and lay our sacrifice on the altar? Mrs. Spurgeon never complained again, but that little woman sat in a wheelchair as an invalid, and Spurgeon down in Mentone, France, his body wrecked by pain and disease. And then came the time he's voted out of the London Baptist Association. Only, did you ever, you notice something running through this sermon? Huh? Lee Robertson voted out of the Hamilton County Baptist Association. John R. Rice voted out of the Tarrant County Baptist Association. Notice something? Charles Haddon Spurgeon voted out of the London Baptist Association. He got 7 votes. That's all he got. 7 votes. Folks thought his ministry was gone. No, his ministry's not gone. Why? Anyway, he doesn't use a stone as a stumbling block to fall over, but a stepping stone to rise on. The bumps are what you climb on. The bumps are what you climb on. I look at our high school grads. They sit here every year. Most of them I've pastored since their birth. I look at them and I wonder who will stay at the bottom. I know some will. Some will stay at the bottom. Never mount anything. But a few will rise to the top. You know the difference? Somebody said, oh boy, he's got talent. He's going to go to the top. Nobody goes to the top on talent. You stumble over talent. You don't rise on talent. Oh, he's got a great personality. You don't rise on a great personality. Oh boy, look at that physique. Folks, a lot of folks think that's the secret of my success. Or look at that strong, good-looking body he's got. Or that handsome face. No, that causes more folks to stumble. I'll tell you the ones that are going to go to the top. The ones that suffer. The ones that come to places where they want to quit. They want to turn back. But they look at that rock or that bump. And they say, oh bump, you're not going to throw me. I'm going to stand on top of you. And I'm going to use you on which to climb. I'm talking to several hundred preacher boys in this room this morning. Several hundred young men preparing to preach. Pastor, the evangelist, missionaries. Some of you will mount to something. Some of you never will. You know why? Because you want to play golf every week. Go bowling every Tuesday. Sleep till 9 o'clock in the morning. You want no troubles. You want an easy life. You can't even make it through college. You're so sorry. You turn back from college. You know why? You want the easy life, but nobody ever will climb the top on the easy life. You climb on the bumps. Our graduates. Think with me for a minute. The greatest missionary in the world today, probably, if you're talking about ministry, Rick Martin. That great work over there in the Philippine Islands, incomparable work. But they carry a little girl with them everywhere they go who's had surgery after surgery after surgery after surgery after surgery. The bumps are what you climb on. The church that baptizes more converts in the United States than any other church except this church right here, pastored by our graduate, Bob Gray, in Longview, Texas. His wife is ill. Constantly ill, body racked by disease and pain. The bumps are what you climb on. Maybe you don't want to be successful for God. Maybe you don't want God to use you. That's why Jesus said, better count the cost. Better count the cost. A little woman sang a while ago, and I, many years ago, promised God we'd give up some of the pleasures of life and some of the things that others normally have. And God's given a wonderful ministry. Preachers, please let an old man be vain for a minute. You won't find a neighborhood in America that hasn't been influenced by this little preacher's life and this church's life. How did it happen? Bumps. Bumps. The bumps are what you climb on. The bumps are what you climb on. I'm talking to folks this morning in this room who are like that little girl. You're stumbling over the bumps.
But thank God there's some people this morning in this room. The bumps are what you climb on. As I stand here right now, Dr. Wendell Evans is in Mayo Clinic. Nobody knows. Dr. Evans doesn't tell you how he suffers. He's got a disease. It won't kill him, but it'll make him miserable before through his life. He never tells anybody about it. Mrs. Evans doesn't get near the credit she gets. One of the great women of our generation, Mrs. Wendell Evans, went through cancer. Wondered if it would reoccur. Yet she keeps on going. The bumps, what you climb on. Ask you a question. What you going to do to yours? What you going to do to your bumps? Huh? Are you going to complain? Or are you going to turn back? Or are you going to stop and quit right where you are? Are you going to blame God? Are you going to have a pity party? Are you going to climb? The song I quote the most, I quoted a while ago. I love it. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I will testify and I'll be through. Listen to me for 2 minutes and I'll be through. I guess I thought by the time you got 60, I guess I thought you got to the top of the mountain. And I guess I hoped that there'd be a level spot up there at the top, where I could live the last years of my life in peace on smooth plain. But I found out that you got to keep on climbing. I found out that God wants you to keep on going higher and higher and higher. Closer to Him. Serving Him better. I found out that when you get 60 and 61, 62 and 63, the bumps are still there. The bumps are still there. But aren't we glad they are? For without the bumps, we could not climb. Because the bumps are what you climb on. Our Heavenly Father.